Tonight, as we look at Psalm 119, I'm entitling this message, The Key to Being Wise. The Key to Getting Wisdom. And I thought it'd be interesting to go on to Truman State University's website and see why anyone should go there. What are they highlighting as the key ingredients? What do they have to offer that should cause someone to pay and fork up tuition to go there? Here's one of the things they have listed on their website under Why Truman. Quote, Truman's personal approach to education helps you define your strengths and discover how they fit into the world. You can fully immerse yourself in a quest for knowledge to determine who you want to be and how you want to make a difference in your community and beyond. And I really don't know what to get out of that, except it's all about you and your quest for knowledge. Well, when you go to a university, you shouldn't be on a quest for knowledge. You should have truth. What is the truth? Tell me the truth. Let me learn this truth instead of it being this journey. Another area, another place on the website says, our vision is to develop educated citizens who can offer creative solutions to local, state, national, and global problems. We're a campus of difference makers who believe in our ability to profoundly impact lives and advance the collective, a fact that's reflected in the successful outcomes of our graduates. So how do we define what it means to do good for the society? Who gets to define that? Well, what is the truth behind that? Who gets to define what is a successful outcome? These are all categories of wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? What is good? What is truth? What is upright? When I was looking at why go to Truman, there was something that was noticeably absent. God. There was no mention of God. Of course, this isn't surprising to us, but it should be shocking. We want to pursue wisdom and knowledge and how to make the society better and greater and to have successful outcomes, and we don't ask the question, how does God define success? How does God define wisdom and goodness and beauty? So tonight we're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. And as we look at this passage, we will be answering the question, what is the key to being a wise person? What is the answer to being a smart individual? Let's look at Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The answer to our question is quite simple. The key to being a wise person is loving and meditating on God's word. The answer to becoming a smart individual is enjoying and studying the Bible. Now, previously, last week, we looked at verses 89 and following and learned that God's immutable and perfect word is what gives life, not just spiritual life, but life to everything, to the creation, to the cosmos. And now we turn to wisdom. Of course, wisdom literature, the Proverbs, is all about this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Without God, you don't have a foundation for wisdom. Without the fear of the Lord. If you don't fear God, then you're trying to build a house of wisdom upon a foundation of sand. The psalmist loves God's word. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day." Of course, loving God's word shows our love for God Himself. Jesus is called the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, as John 1:14 says. So, the way we treat God's word shows how we treat God, because it is connected to Him. All of us maybe receive birthday cards or nice letters, thank you notes, and especially for those you love, you cherish those even more. And you may read over it a couple of times, 3, 4, 5 times. You may save them and then go back and read them if you are sentimental. Why? Because it comes from those you love. And you cherish their words. You care about their words. It moves you. In the same way, we have the Bible, which is God's love letter to us. How much more, if we love God, should we not love to read over His word over and over and over again? And so the psalmist does this, and he meditates on it. It's not just he reads it and it goes one ear and out the other, but he keeps bringing it up in his mind, thinking about it, thinking about implications, applications, from different angles. How does this work? The other day I was reading 1 Thessalonians 5, and I came across the verse, "For he who calls you is faithful." Wow, you could spend a whole day meditating about that. How is God faithful to me? Well, He's faithful by causing the sun to rise and to set. He's faithful by giving rain. He's faithful by giving food. Faithful by giving good health. Faithful by providing a job for me. Faithful by providing for our home and needs. Faithful that He sent His Son, Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. Faithful in giving eternal life to all who call upon Him. Faithful in never changing His mind, going back and forth. Faithful, He never lies. On and on we could go. You can think about it all day. And so the psalmist meditates this all day. And this repeats a theme that begins at the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night." So you have two paths, two different types of people. Those who are mockers, scoffers, and sinners, who do not fear God and therefore do not meditate upon God's Word. And those who love God and so they do meditate upon God's Word. Parents are told to teach our children diligently throughout the day God's Word, as Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says. Also, you have Joshua 1, verse 8, where in the next generation, Joshua calls the people to meditate upon God's Word. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Ah, what's the key to good success? Meditating and knowing God's Word. And not just meditating and knowing it, but doing it, obeying it. Not just being hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Charles Spurgeon says this, "This was both the effect of his love and the cause of it. He meditated in God's Word because he loved it. And then loved it the more because he meditated in it." Oh, you see this cycle? I love God's Word, so I meditate on it. Oh, as I meditate on it, I love it more. As I love it more, I meditate on it more. And you see how it just goes round and round and round in this vortex. Spurgeon continues, "He could not have enough of it, so ardently did he love it. All the day was not too long for his converse with it." So, loving God's Word, meditating on it, produces an outcome. And that is, you will be wiser than your enemies. Verse 98. "Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me." Now here we're thinking about enemies as being crafty. They lie, steal, cheat. They set up traps to try to get you. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to ask Jesus questions to entrap Him and snare Him. Israel, when they went into the land, they were supposed to live in such a way that the people around them, the pagans, would say, "You are so wise. Where'd you get this wisdom?" Deuteronomy 4, verse 6 says, of God's law, "Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" So they were supposed to evangelize these people by obeying God's word, and by doing that, the pagans will look at them and say, "You're so wise and understanding." But you know what happened? The reverse. The pagans evangelized them. They committed spiritual adultery on God, and they adopted the practices of those people, which was idolatry, which was wickedness, which was child sacrifice, which is on and on it goes. And instead of being a wise and understanding people, they were foolish and idolaters. In the same way, we Christians should live in such a way that people will say, "You are so wise. How did you get so wise?" "Oh, I read the Bible, and I meditated on it, and I'm trying to apply it." That's how there's such wisdom that comes from it. There's no secret. And so, in order to have this, we must have the law with us. It says in verse 98, "For it is ever with me." How? Through memorization. We memorize God's truth. That's why in our bulletin every week we have a memory verse. I would encourage you to meditate upon it and memorize it. By memorizing principles, we can think of, God is holy, good, just, wise, loving. And so whenever there's anything that happens in my life, I run it through that prism. Oh, this is a terrible thing, but it's from God's sovereign hand. God is good. God is wise. God is just. So I won't doubt God. From sermons that we hear, from Bible studies that we do, from these things, we have these principles. We have this truth that is stored up. And we have this as a grid in which to use when we make decisions thousands of times a day. So this makes us wiser than our enemies. It also makes us wiser than our teachers, even teachers at Truman State University. Verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." A young man or woman can be wiser than doctors, lawyers, people with PhDs or college graduates. On and on it goes. Even Albert Einstein, because they dedicate their lives to studying and knowing the Word of God, and those people, if they're not believers, do not. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing the foolish things people who think they're wise say. And it's because they're ignorant of God's Word, or they dismiss God's Word. Just because you have a degree, it does not equal wisdom. This is how we can be wiser than our own teachers, than the teachers here in this community. Jesus even said about how even the wise are in generally blind to the truth. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Those who had seen as the smartest, the brightest, the most successful, they were blinded to the truth that Jesus was the Messiah, and yet little children understood. Paul, he repeats this theme in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 20. Who did God save among the Corinthians? Was it the rich? Was it the wise? No. Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And we see that all around us, do we not? We have experts saying, you need to make sure young children, even adults who are gender confused, they must embrace that. They must have transgender surgery. They must be pumped full of drugs. That is the wise, good, compassionate thing to do. Even now, there's been a blowback against therapy for children. There's a woman that has come out and done all this studies that show secular therapy for children is making children worse. We're putting the most money, the most emphasis on what people call mental illness, which mental health, which is so abstract and no one really ever defines that. That, you know how the outcome is after putting all this time, money, attention on it? People are worse off than they were. Why? Because they're so focused on themselves. Another story, there's a children who were upset because they didn't have a mom. They had two dads in a homosexual relationship. You have people who are promoting divorce left and right. And you see the aftermath of that in our society. You have people promoting drugs, and now we can't find people to work. Those people who are doing those drugs are hurting themselves to the point of overdosing, and no one seems to care. And this is the wisdom of the world. Let's legalize it. Let's make it happen. Let's promote it. Let's say it's good. That's great. But it's not just that. Then you have philosophers. You have the philosophers of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Of course, they made some observations that were true, but ultimately they didn't know God. You have uneducated people in Galilee who come to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and these philosophers had no idea. They were in unbelief. Even though their works are still being studied, they do not have the wisdom of knowing God Himself. So you can be wiser than your enemies. You can be wiser than your teachers. You can also be wiser than the aged, than the elderly. Look at verse 100. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. The assumption here is that those who are older, who have more life experience, should be wiser because of that life experience. I had a friend, he said, an education is expensive. Either you pay for it by going to school, or you pay for it by making mistakes, and it costs you money. Either way, it's expensive. Job 12, verse 12 says, wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in the length of days. Yet how many people do we know who are older, who have gray hairs, who are retired, and they do not keep God's word? They're 70 years old, and they're just as foolish as a teenager. They do not do God's commandments. They still get drunk. They promote idolatry. They're living with someone else outside of marriage. On and on it goes. And they are to be ones that are to be esteemed, to be looked at, that we should gain wisdom from, and yet they have the Bible in front of them. They have the Bible with dust on the shelf. They had a grown up in church, and they've thrown it all away. They don't look to it, and they just do what is right in their own eyes. That's why young people can be wiser than them by learning God's word and obeying it. James 3, verse 13 asks, who is wise and understanding among you? This is a great question we should ask. Go on a college campus. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who are the ones that you should look to for wisdom? Who are the ones that should be your mentor? Who should be the people that you would want to invest in you? That you should be like a sponge and soak up truth for them? What should be the qualities of those who are wise and understanding? Do you know what God says? By His good conduct, let Him show His works in the meekness of wisdom. A man who lives a holy life. That's how we know who is wise. But we don't look at holiness. We don't look at the character of one's life. Instead, we compartmentalize it. Oh, you've done this, all this research over here. You've made all these discoveries. But your personal life is a wreck. Wisdom also includes actions, as it says in verse 101. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. So, being wise, he flees, turns away from what is evil. Verse 102, it says, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. And that's why it's so important that we just don't learn God's word, but we apply God's word. Proverbs 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them," meaning with the evildoers. "Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." Do not join in them in their murderous intentions. Do not join them in their plotting, in their sin, in their iniquity that they're trying to do. It will lead to your destruction. Rather, you need to love and learn God's word. Verse 103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Why do some people love God's word and others hate it? Some people are born again and others are not. It's that simple. Those who have been given a new heart love God's word, want to read God's word, want to obey God's word, want to cherish it, submit to it, see themselves under its authority. Those who are not born again make excuses for God's word or make some of it apply, but others don't apply, or they just flat out want to be done with it. I remember when I was younger, there were certain foods I didn't like, one of them being green beans. Then I grew older and my taste buds changed, and now I like green beans, especially put some bacon on it. I had to change in order to appreciate the green beans. In the same way, people have to change in order to appreciate God's word. All of our understanding comes, all our understanding for wisdom, how to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, who God is, what is our plan, our purpose, our reason for being, how we are to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, all comes from the Bible. And so verse 104 says, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Because I see God's word, the Bible, as being true and right and just, I therefore must hate the opposite, which are lies, evil. To understand means to hate evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." Satan is the father of lies. Therefore, to allow lies, to accept lies, to encourage lies is to be a part of the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said of Satan that he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. And how much, even in our town, our community, even on Truman State University, even at AT still, how much of what are they teaching in some departments and areas by faculty is from the pits of hell? And it's being subsidized by our taxpayer dollars. Isn't that sad? And yet here we are. And there are other churches in town too who preach God's word, who open up the scriptures, and it's free. Come to the buffet of wisdom. The admission is free. It's nothing. You can come back more and more and more. Day after day, week after week, year after year, rich and poor and middle aged, no matter who you are, come and you can soak in the wisdom of God's word. They're charging, what, $20,000, $30,000, and you have how many people on campus? 3,000, let's say, 3,500. And here, we charge nothing. And we see how many people show. Richard Sibbes said this, "Those that care not for the word are strangers to the spirit, and they that care not for the spirit never make a right use of the word." The Word is nothing without the Spirit and only animated and quickened by Him. The Spirit and the Word are like the veins and arteries in the body that give life to the whole. And therefore, where the Word is most revealed, there is most of the Spirit. You see, unless this Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us, unless the Spirit does a quickening work in us, unless the Spirit gives us a new nature, we will not taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in Him. It doesn't surprise us that the natural man does not want to hear God's wisdom, even if it's free. So how should we respond to this? Well, we should respond by praying. First, we need to pray for the Spirit's help. Oh Spirit, help me to understand. Help me to illuminate God's truth. Help me to want to learn more. Help me to apply. Help to prompt me in the day with decisions to remember your word. Pray for God to give you a greater desire to know and meditate on the word. May I know you more, God, through your word. May I have a greater hunger and desire, maybe insatiable, that I cannot ever quench that hunger, but I want to dig more. I want to know more because I want to know you more. Pray for God to help you to memorize Scripture. I know some have struggles with this. Well, have you ever asked God to help? Pray. Pray, Lord, help me. Help me to understand. Help me to memorize these words. Help God to help you to esteem the wisdom that is found in this word, greater than the wisdom of your enemies, the wisdom of your teachers, and the wisdom of the age. Even if all around are against us and against God's word, pray that God would help us to stand firm in the truth so that we would not capitulate. Even if the so-called experts are saying and promoting, these are the ways, this is what's scientifically been proven, this is what is good and right and true, even if it goes against the word of God, we stand with God. Finally, pray for God to help us to hate evil more and more and more, including the lies of Satan, that we would not give any ground, that we would not give any comfort or aid, that we would not stand as if we could be neutral against what is wrong and what is falsehood, but instead may we promote what is right and good, may we love what is true and holy, may we love God's word, and may we be willing to call out those who hate it, even if they flash their credentials as if it is right and good. So may we go to the Lord tonight with these prayer requests, that we would see that He is the only and final source of true wisdom, and that this is the key to being a wise person in this world.